The following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
You're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
We are Sports Saturday, and we are living the dream and taking you with us on this wonderful Saturday morning, the last Saturday in April, NFL Draft Saturday. I am Bernie Siplicki hosting Sports Saturday today as Jeff Paul is out on assignment, not only this week, but next week. And filling in for me, my good friend for many years, a wealth of sports knowledge, untapped information that's going to just make this show that much better. Justin Rabideau. Justin, thank you for joining us today.
Good morning. Surprised to be surprised and fortunate to be invited back to sit here. Thank you.
Surprise? Come on now. I mean, the reviews we got were overwhelming on how good. That's because nobody listens, but that's okay, right?
We just want to make sure we keep Mr. Barlow happy. That's the goal.
That's the bottom line. When the big boss is always happy, everybody else is happy. What a show we got for you today. Again, so much good stuff going on between the NFL draft, the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, the Red Sox, even though they stubbed their toe last night, still rolling. You know, we have Matt Verderam. Thank you, Verderam, from the lead writer from fanside.com, had a nice article about Lamar Jackson. We're going to talk to him, get his insights on the first three rounds of the draft, and then, you know, what he thinks is going to happen here in rounds 4 through 7. Then that's at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. At 11:22, our good friend Tara Sullivan coming on. Yes, we're going to talk a little hockey. I know it doesn't happen much. Rich Haskell is going to be really excited. Hopefully, he's going to tune in for this segment. But, you know, we're going to preview the Bruins and Tampa Bay. And, Justin, hopefully you got that segment ready because, you know, I
don't watch any hockey until playoffs. And then once playoffs start, it's a great watch. And really, it's really fun just to get up on the ins and outs of it. Very excited for this upcoming series.
Well, but I mean, if I recall, I don't think you're giving the Bruins much of a chance in this series. I think I've heard lightning in five.
I did watch both of the Tampa and Bruins first series, and if we get bad Tuca again, yeah, it's going to be quick. It's going to be over. Tuca needs to at least get that save percentage above 90 to at least be even in the discussion.
But if you're scoring seven goals a game, doesn't matter.
Exactly. How many times can they count on that?
Well, they did it twice in the first series. Hopefully they can do it a couple more times against Tampa Bay. But really right now it's all about the NFL draft and just so much fun. And you know, I'm a Giants fan and I was very excited.
With the second pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the New York Giants select Saquon Barkley, running back, Penn State.
Without question, you know, the most electrifying potential talent in the draft, and for him to go second. I know there's a lot of, oh, well, you know, you look at the running backs and the first round pick hasn't done the job or won a Super Bowl forever. Right, Justin? Go ahead.
Is that what I sound like? Because you're right. We have to go back to, I think, Terrell Davis back-to-back years and Marshall Faulk right after him, where you had a marquee running back lead their team to a Super Bowl. So it certainly is valid to question taking a running back, doesn't matter how talented a person is, and Barkley is unquestionably a once every 5 or 10 years talent, but you just have to wonder, especially where the NFL is heading in terms of more reliance on pass and spread formations, is using such an asset like the number 2 pick on a running back the right thing to do for the long term?
Well, you know, my nephew Kyle is a huge Giant fan, and the draft, the first round was Thursday. On Wednesday night, we were talking, and he goes, you know, Ernie Accorsi was the GM of the Baltimore Colts back in the day in 1975. And this guy, Accorsi, trained Gettleman. You know, he was under his tutelage. Then Gettleman went to Carolina, came back. And Ernie Accorsi said that in 1975, he made one mistake. He drafted a really good offensive guard, this guy Huff, in 1975 with the 3rd pick overall. The 4th pick was the Chicago Bears. It was Walter Payton. Ooh. And he says that is something that has kind of lived with him forever. And after I heard that, I was like, there's no way that Gettleman, because Barkley, obviously was the 2nd pick. Accorsi was on the board to hire this new GM right then and there. It was on Mel Kiper's podcast. Kyle told me it was over.
If there's anyone who's going to mimic football from 40 years ago, it's Gettleman. Did you see his press conference?
Fantastic.
From yesterday when he was mocking essentially math and nerds. So if anyone's going to stick to what was tried and true in the 70s, it's Gettleman. So congratulations, Giants, for that.
Well, we'll see what happens. He's done a pretty good job so far. But then there was another really interesting moment in the NFL draft that was exciting.
With the 23rd pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the New England Patriots select Isaiah Wynn, tackle, Georgia.
Well, did the Patriots win the trade with the St. Louis Rams?
I have to say no. You look at the last Super Bowl. Brady threw for over 500 yards, no interceptions. They had over 600 total yards combined, and they spent their first 2 picks, to expand the discussion a bit, they spent their first 2 picks in the first round on offense. I would argue this team is in more need of defense. So if, in terms of how they use that pick for Brandon Cooks, maybe the other side of the ball could have been something they went.
But with that being said, did they not lose a lot on the offensive line and needed to address that right away?
They definitely, in the loss of Solder, but they have always somehow, by hook or crook, especially with Dante Sarnecchia, managed to patch together enough in front of Brady to give him the 0.7 seconds he needs to get rid of the ball.
And that trade they just made to get the offensive lineman from San Francisco, I mean, hit or miss?
I think that's an okay trade, though it is frustrating as a Patriots fan to watch them continually trade today's assets for, you know, the old I'll gladly pay you for Tuesday for hamburger today. The Patriots are always acquiring picks for next year. Brady's 41 now. How many more next years? You know, at some point you just want them to do it today.
Well, and next year, Jimmy Garoppolo, they traded that pick like 67 times the other night, so they can't, all the analytics can say who got the better end of that draft.
That was definitely a smokescreen. They're probably trying to make it hard to figure out. Wait, it was Garoppolo for what in the end? I can't tell.
Yeah, follow that chain, you know.
It's like like international banking.
Yeah, you love the draft, and Goodell just getting heckled and booed all over the place. You know, they tried the unbelievable big three from Dallas, Staubach, Witten, and Aikman coming out and trying to throw, you know, footballs into the crowd. But the booing was at an all-time high for every pick pretty much in the first round. And then the second round, they bring out some old celebs. Like Justin Tuck came out, Chris Canty.
Anyone else in particular you want to talk about?
The guy who stole the show yesterday without question was this.
Tighten up, baby, tighten up. With the 41st pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans select Honor Landry from Boston College.
I think that's Harold Landry.
There's probably not too many of us who are up on the depth chart of BC's defense, but I think everyone knows the gentleman's name is not Honor.
Right. I mean, that was Vince Young, the former great quarterback for Texas in college, and then the longtime Tennessee Titan. I mean, all is well that ends well as, you know, Harold Landry, the DN from BC, who was a potential first-round draft pick, kind of slid. I think that was, what, pick number 40?
42, I think.
And just one of the best. That was just like, I'm sitting there, I'm watching, and I'm like, what? It was just great butchery. And, you know, Harold, honor, is it that hard? Is it like, you know, Supliki? Is it like kind of reading that?
Maybe someone gave him the old Anchorman joke where you put a question at the end of a sentence and then you're going to read what's on the card. Maybe someone slipped honor on the card to set him up for the fall here. That's, you know what, for Vince's sake, let's hope so. That's what it was.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, he apologized right away. Harold's fine with it, but that you know, that's going to go down forever. For as long as the NFL draft is going and they have the hiccups and glitches, that is an all-time great.
It's like when you're one of the victims of throwing out a bad first pitch, every time it happens again, they're going to mention you. Now they're going to mention Vince Young, and just like the boy who announced the wrong winner of the Miss Universe pageant. Ugh. You know, certain things you can never get off your resume.
Yep, no, and you know, Vince had a great resume to be able to come out and make that selection. You know, Tennessee wanted him to come out and do that, and he just, ugh, bad. Bad. But, you know, you talk about the power and the star power of the NFL. 11 million people watching the draft. 2 million people watching the NBA playoffs last night.
Yeah, I think the NFL was smart, and they continue to open up the draft to other networks. So Fox had their own show this year. So you had Fox, ESPN, the NFL Network. Then you had all the other ESPNs, and then they were streaming. And they know that content is king, and the NFL is king of content. As I was derided in my own home for watching something.
Ooh, what? Derided? Help me out, man.
I was.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10:15. Come on, man.
I was ridiculed in my own home.
Okay, all right.
For
thank
watching
you.
Something and paying intently attention to something that I could simply just pick up the paper the next day to find out. But it's
so then why watch a sporting event?
It's a great. Oh, hey, that may have been what I said.
Oh,
it's but
see,
it's
that's how well
drama.
We know each other.
It's great drama. Whether you have the Vince Youngs or there's nothing that makes a sports fan happier than having a commissioner say, we have a trade to announce.
Yes.
And you had a bunch of that in the first round as well.
Yeah, and you know, you think about, you look at the NFL and you look at how, you know, the brands of all brands in sports. Yes, you know, there's the talk about the play is not great, the concussion stuff, the Thursday night games, player safety, yada, yada, yada. But you look at every month in the calendar, and the NFL has a marquee event. You know, you look at, let's start right now. We're in April. They got the draft. You know, next May, they're doing the mini camps.
And then we were right in the summer, and you have your off-season camps, and you know, the Hall of Fame game, then the season starts. Super Bowl, free agency. They're not a $40-plus billion business for no reason. And I think what's interesting is a few years ago, the NBA kind of realized this and they started scheduling and spreading events around more to have more year-round coverage. They're certainly, the NBA that is certainly helped by what now appears to be the annual soap opera of where will LeBron or other superstar X go free agency, which is coming up again this year. So they almost have that guaranteed built-in drama. It's dramatic. So we watch these things for the sport of it also. But there's some insanely compelling storylines that you just can't turn away from if you're a sports fan.
Yes, it is, you know, exciting and entertainment. And, you know, right now with the draft today starting again at noon, you know, they spread the draft out over 3 days. And it's, you know, it's not must watch TV. But, you know, again, it's so riveting. I mean, like, you know, the Giants pick eighth in the fourth round. And I'm going to try to figure out a way, some way, whether it's streaming, which, you know, I might need my kids to help me to figure out something just to be able to watch it. I want to see and know what's going on. And they're going to have people locked in from noon to 7 today to dominate, you know, the ratings.
Part of me, being old nostalgia guy, likes when it was Saturday and Sunday and it was like just a 12-hour. It was a fight to get through it all. And I didn't like the change, but now that prime time Thursday, Friday, it's a home run because, like you said, at the top of every round, they're compelling stories. So you're going to tune in. What's your team doing? Someone's always trying to trade into one of those first spots every day. Great stuff.
And again, you know, we're going to touch some more on that. Like we said, at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to have Matt Verderam, the lead writer for NFL or for fanside.com. And you talk about that trade in Lamar Jackson, you know, the Ravens trade into 32 and get him to close the night off around one. So we're going to touch some more on that. And again, after that, we're going to get a little bit of everything here. We got the Bruins preview at 11:22. You know, we're going to talk a little bit of baseball at 10:40. And after we get ready to take a quick break here, we're going to talk a little NBA, NBA playoffs, potential free agency. Are, you know, things going to blow up? Are the Wizards going to blow up? Are the Trailblazers going to blow up? Where's Paul George going? Preview Celtics game 7. A busy, busy morning on Sports Saturday. I'm Bernie Siplicki in the lead chair for Jeff Paul, who's out on assignment. My man Justin, riding shotgun, going to carry us through the next hour and 40-plus minutes or so. And when we come back, we'll preview little NBA playoff and free agency.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
Patriots haven't moved up in the draft because they know Trace McSorley will still be there at 31.
And Bernie Siplicki.
With the 31st pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Sony Michel, running back, Georgia.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go, yo.
We are Sports Saturday, the last Saturday in April. I am Bernie Siplicki with Jeff Paul out on assignment. Justin Rabideau riding shotgun, filling in again. Thank you, Justin, for being here today.
Yeah, no problem.
Aaron, great call on you know, your Patriots 31st draft pick. Your inside knowledge almost was so close to shining through.
I was close.
Even worse, isn't Trace McSorley still in college? He's not even in the draft. He's still at Penn State.
Yeah, he's at Penn State right now, taking classes, trying to finish out, and exploring all options.
He's returning to campus to play quarterback next year. So our boy made a prediction of a guy who would get drafted, of a guy who's not even in the draft. That's good stuff.
But no, that's his preview for 2019.
Solid.
You see?
Solid.
He's a Patriots taking those picks, trading. He's thinking for the future. That's Brady's replacement.
Just like we talked about with the Pats, so many trades with Garoppolo,
right.
It does get confusing trying to follow what's going on.
So, you know, I mean, give the young guy a break here. You know, he's trying.
And I meant 32nd pick. I'm sorry.
Okay. There's a Super Bowl in the offing, clearly, this year.
Right. So, you know, I mean, he's there. We're getting there. Ooh, but we're going to talk some more about the NFL draft with Matt Verderam, the lead writer for fansided.com, coming up at the top of the 11 o'clock hour with the draft and all that good stuff. But again, a big day if you're a Bostonian fan. This afternoon, you got the Bruins and Lightning game 1, and we'll talk to our good friend Tara Sullivan, the sports columnist for the Boston Globe, at 11:22 to kind of preview that, and hopefully good Tuca shows up for that series. But tonight, 8 o'clock, game 7, Celtics-Bucks, home court being served throughout of the first round, as I have found this first round of all the NBA playoff series pretty entertaining, but not only because I'm a Celtics fan, you know, have I found this one extremely entertaining. But Justin, I even consider you a bigger Celtics fan than I am. And what are your takes on tonight's game 7?
I think what we're going to see is, much like in years past, even in the 08 season when the Celtics won the title, when they went 7 in the first round with the Hawks, and every team won at home. I think we're just going to see more of the same. This series, as you said, has been incredible. Individual performances from Giannis, kind of the breakout of Jaylen Brown as the Celtics' number one scorer. I think a lot of people coming in the postseason were looking at Tatum to be that guy, but Brown has really had a had a had a a coming out of sorts as a true star in terms of scoring. But also, if you look at what's happened in the first six games, and you add in the fact that the Bucks have been hampered a little bit by injuries too, and this
whoa, you can't throw the injury bug at the Bucks when your two superstars and all stars haven't seen the floor in a long, long time. Come on now.
That is correct, but I would say that's been going on for so long that the Celtics are
so today, it's the norm versus
yeah, okay. Kind of with the norm. The injuries for the Bucks are recent developments. With, and it sounds funny to say the name like Shabazz Muhammad as if
he's still in the league.
Exactly right. He's played three games this series. He's missed three with a bum ankle, but he's a guy that creates matchup problems for the Celtics second units defensively. And John Henson is another one. They're just a really long team, and when they can go Henson and Maker and just have always one of those guys on the floor if they want, if they're going to go big, so. If those, I would say something like if those guys are going to play, but I think we've seen enough through these six games to realize that the home team's going to win here. The home team's, the Celtics are favored by about 5 points, I think.
Four and a half,
thank you.
You're welcome.
The at home, you know, the regardless of sport, regardless of level, your role players are going to, same things happen this series. So I think we'll see the Celtics win. It'll be interesting if, like, in game five, the Bucks come out and try to bully the Celtics and the refs kind of swallow their whistle a little bit. You're right. These, you know, whether it's Bledsoe and Rozier not liking each other, that's after 2 weeks of this, you start getting on each other's nerves a little bit. And it's been really entertaining.
Well, if you want to chime in and give us your thoughts on this game seven, please do 655-6672. Or you can reach us on the Town Fair Tire text line 655-6672. We'd love to hear from you and your perspective on this game seven tonight or anything, whether it's the NFL draft, the preview for the Bruins, anything you want to talk about, please feel free to reach out to us at this time. You know, going back to game seven, and I always go back to doesn't the best player on the best team kind of carry you to victories in these games? And is this the time for Giannis to really, he's in the spotlight, but to have that kind of game? You know, you had mentioned off air in game five, he only took 13 shots. He should be taking 13 shots a quarter for this team.
Yeah, coming into the season, I think people were, where I was trying to find who's the, in the NBA, there's always the who's the third or fourth best player discussion. Giannis was one of those guys coming into the season that was mentioned as a top five MVP candidate. And for a variety of reasons, supporting cast kind of not quite being there, Jabari suffering injuries again. But if he wants to put his stamp on the team and on his image on the league, it's imperative that he goes out there and puts up 38-7, 30 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and he does it on a couple dozen shots. The Celtics have done a really good job rotating Horford, Morris, even Jaylen Brown, so they keep throwing
Semi Ojeleye.
Yeah, you know, let's talk about Brad Stevens. He takes a guy who has had almost no run in the series, inserts him as a starter, by the way, tells him about 20 minutes before the game he's starting, and he says, your job is just, you go out there and you just dog Giannis. You get in him. And it's a great use of six extra fouls, by the way. But also, the guy's just a really athletic, really strong. So, who knows? This coaching matchup between Brad Stevens and Joe Prunty, the fact that I can't pronounce his name, and the fact that most...
Jason Kidd's not coaching Milwaukee anymore?
Exactly. I think that's what, when you look at the Bucks sideline, you say, who's this guy?
Right.
And
well, and is there that relationship with that coach, if you're those Bucks players, like, you know, have they really bought into this? You know, you don't know the relationship, you don't see that. Like, are those guys saying, man, we got to win this game for coach so he can make sure he gets his job?
If you remember when Kidd was fired, Giannis was very public about once he heard the news, what he tried to do to reverse that decision. So obviously, you hope the team buys in, but not that they might not like their current coach. They certainly seem to be all in there for Kidd. This probably isn't enough time, 2 to 3 months, for them to build that type of a relationship with the current coach.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Again, a big day today, 3 o'clock Bruins, 8 o'clock Celtics. I just, you know, you always talk about the role players in these type of games, no matter what the championship is. It's always, you know, the stars are going to be the stars. Who is going to be that you know, third, fourth player that's going to step up? Is Rozier going to have the big game? Is, you know, I mean, I know Greg Monroe hasn't played a lot, but are they going to bring him off the bench and try to score on the interior? You know, just who is that person? Is, you know, as much as he's a little gnat, Dellavedova going to have a game, you know, disrupting the Celtics trying to get set in their half-court offense and making three-point shots? You look at how these players at home make plays, but on the road, they haven't been able to. I think, you know, if you go back and look at the three games that the Bucks have lost on the road in Boston, they're shooting, you know, under 30% from three. And are they going to catch fire?
I think Deli's job is if he can hit a couple open threes, because he's going to get the looks because the Celtics are going to give them to him. If he can do that, if Jabari can give him 15, solid play, which is totally possible out of Malcolm Brogdon. Again, you have Jabari and Brogdon. They're also working their way back from injuries. Not your point about the Celtics injuries is a salient one. But on the Boston side, you have a guy like
Martin. You got to stop throwing these SAT words in.
Come you got on, a man. Guy like
this is a sports talk radio show. We're not getting ready. The SAT is next Saturday, the first Saturday in May. You know when we can get you on early so you can give that get the quiz going.
I figured you could always use a little bit of enlightenment, knowing you for 20
a little bit.
He's only on Mountain Dew 3. Those are like Mountain Dew 4 or 5 words.
With the Celtics, with role players, they got a guy like Marcus Morris who can and has gone off for like 28 in a big game. Monroe, when they've played Monroe, he's done well, but I think that's more matchup, and a lot of that has to do with Henson. You know, Stevens is going to use Monroe if he needs him. Otherwise, I think his preference is to play a little smaller, like with Semi at the 4, put Horford at the 5, and just let it is so fun. If you like basketball and if you kind of like the X's and O's, it is so fun trying to watch what Stevens has to do every game because of the lack of depth. And Marcus Smart, also, he's back, and who would have thought he would have given them what he gave them? He's such a little spark plug, just energy-wise, and he's – three of their guys are on the floor. He's the Celtics guy on the floor. Not only is he getting the ball out of there, he's kicking it to Horford. No one even thought best case scenario a jump ball. So I think all those factors point to, like we've talked about earlier, the role players at home and the Celtics getting the job done tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, the one guy that you said has been steady Eddie, but I just would love to see him break into that superstar role. But I just don't know if you know, I mean, And it's going to sound crazy, he's still a little boy, and that's Jason Tatum. I mean, he has moments. Like, he's going to get you 15. Like, you can put it in the books. He's going to get 15. But can he get to 25 tonight? Can he find that 22-9 night in a game 7? He has to become that guy because he has that kind of talent.
I think... You know, you talk about young kids in playoffs. I think he's so, what is he, 20? I think he's so young.
Did he just turn 19 or 20?
I think he just turned 20. But either way. He's so ridiculously young that I think he's not lost.
But what's the difference between him and Jaylen Brown then? Other than 1 year experience?
I think it's just different. Well, but also different styles. I mean, Tatum's a little bit more on the outside. He can certainly slash and finish strongly. But Brown's your guy going to the hoop, and he's the one who's going to get the open three looks. If we can get from Tatum another one or two of his little crossover step back threes, which have been, other than Rozier's to win game 2, I think it was, or the little crossover step back right in Bledsoe's face.
Right.
You know, so Tatum can do that, and I don't think he's a guy we have to worry about just for the moment being too big. Also,
right. Brad, he's going to be steady.
Brad's not going to, you know, Coach Stevens is going to put these guys in position to succeed.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, hope I can stay awake, and you know, it starts at 8. That's late for me, man. I'm getting old.
Well, again, I think we got to go Mountain Dew all day long. Give you all the energy you need.
Yeah, we might have to change over at some point. But anyways, we'll keep that rolling on. You know, getting ready to go to break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Major League Baseball. Talk, you know, the Phillies still rolling. Red Sox 19-6, but everybody hitting the panic button because Drew Pomerantz just hasn't been able to fill the void at the back end of the rotation. And plenty more. We got some out in left field, hot or not, little NFL, NHL, all kinds of good stuff still to go here on Sports Saturday. I'm Bernie Siplicki filling in for Jeff Paul, who's out on assignment. Justin Rabideau riding shotgun. Aaron on the board. getting ready to take you through the rest of the first hour when we come back talking some Major League Baseball. Go Sox, go.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
But they score points, Burn. Like, they're still scoring a lot of points.
Yeah, that's fine.
And to me, in the NBA, if you can score enough points, you can beat anybody.
And Bernie Siplicki.
Well, if you score enough points in any game, you're going to win.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday. I'm Bernie Siplicki filling in for Jeff Paul, who's out on assignment. Justin Rabideau riding shotgun. Aaron Wells bouncing, bobbing, weaving, grooving
like
behind the board.
Jump shots over there.
Oh, he's going crazy. A lot of good stuff on the Town Fair Tire text line, 655-6672. Aaron, why don't you take us through a couple of things?
Well, Big Mike McGillicuddy's, with our conversation about running backs not leading teams to Super Bowls, he nominated Marshawn Lynch as a running back who leads teams to Super Bowls.
Okay, valid point. You know, that was good. I think he was the 12th overall pick in the draft. That year, though, I think he was kind of secondary to the defense. And in that Super Bowl,
I think he had 15 carries, 39 yards, and a touch. He did, during the regular season, I think, have 12 touchdowns, lead the league, and 1,200 and something yards. Very good workhorse back. I don't think he falls into the Marshall Faulk, Terrell Davis superstar category. He was a part part of a very, very good team with an excellent defense.
Right. And that's where, again, I think it goes back to does the elite superstar running back get you to that, or can you be a solid fill-in plug-in?
So those Broncos, could they have won a Super Bowl with another running back? Probably not. These Seahawks probably could have won the Super Bowl.
Right. Like, even the Giants with Otis Anderson.
Yep.
You know, he was a big draft pick, and he was good, but, you know, it's just debate.
The Texans are right. There's also, I think, a couple of current examples of younger NFL running backs who might eventually get their teams to that point one day.
Well, Ezekiel Elliott being one of them, but he hasn't played enough, and they haven't won a playoff game, but he's obviously very talented. And then Leonard Fournette this past year, who, you know, LSU guy I love, Jacksonville beat Pittsburgh, then decided to get away from their game plan in the second round, in the second half against the Patriots, but that doesn't, you know, burn me at all.
So maybe there are some younger guys who will grow into and have the opportunity to lead their teams to Super Bowl.
What else we got on the Town Fair Tire text line?
Zach in Bristol argued for the Barkley pick by saying that maybe the Giants just feel more comfortable with Davis Webb as a replacement for Eli Manning instead of drafting a quarterback.
Yes, I don't know about that. I think the verdict is out on that. I think they went back to the I'm taking the best player, and you know we got to take this guy, and with him and Odell Beckham and Evan Ingram and Sterling Shepard, and then you could throw Rhett Ellison.
It brings the play action pass back to the Giants, I think has been something missing over the past few years.
You know what's been missing? The offensive line, because no one can block.
Well, doesn't I'm arguing against myself here a bit, but doesn't the addition of a Barkley help the offensive line?
Because you would think so.
They're going to get him out. They're going to get him out in the space. They're going to pass him the ball. They're going to hand him off. So, you know, the rising tide.
Right. Again, another playmaker can hopefully help alleviate that pain that is still painful. What else we got?
Well, to bring us back to MLB, Dave Hunter is rubbing in that the Yankees won.
Yeah. Dave Hunter, the highlight of his Friday night was when the Yankees won and the Red Sox lost. So thankfully, Dave and Jeff are not here today. But before we really start to get into Major League Baseball, I just wanted to finish up with a little NBA, you know, because I like basketball more than baseball. I won't lie about that. I just Oklahoma City. Didn't do it again. Paul George, 2 of 18. Yes. Carmelo Anthony.
Who?
Exactly. Russell Westbrook, 43 points on 39 shots or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Mel, no.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Exactly.
And he gets to exercise a $28 million player option and come back and rot away again on the bench next year.
He's going to get paid $28 million.
So
what happens to Oklahoma City? What happens to the Washington Wizards? And what happens to the Portland Trail Blazers?
I think let's start with OKC. If they re-sign George to a max, Carmelo's going to exercise. They already have Westbrook on board for a max. They're going to have to pay north of $110 million in a luxury tax next year. I don't know if they want to do that. Also, if you look at what the quote, and you know, I choke when I hear this term applied to this team, but the quote big three of OKC, it got them one more win than their team.
It's Steven Adams, it's not
the,
Carmelo.
Than all the spare parts they traded away last year. And by the way, those spare parts, Oladipo, Sabonis, are about to shock the world against LeBron tomorrow.
Whoa, 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 whoa. So are you saying the Pacers win Game 7 tomorrow against the Cavaliers? You just said they're about to shock the world. That's what it sounds like to me.
I would love to see it happen.
You would love to see it. Yeah. Now, wait a second. They're going to shock the world versus I'd love to see it happen. I'm feeling you're still afraid of LeBron, the best player in the world, winning one more game at home.
Most definitely. And the fact that this game 6 was such a blowout, LeBron only played 30 minutes. He's going to be have a little bit more. He seems to have an unlimited supply of energy. He's been playing 44, 43 minutes.
He's been unbelievable. Yeah.
So if he puts his head down and goes to the hole, and if Love hits open threes, but if those things don't happen, this Indiana team is as carefree and as fun. And thank God for the return of blowing in your ear Lance Stephenson.
Come on.
A move that you copied and stole from him years ago. But it should be, I know we talked about home teams, but this is a series in which each road team has gotten a W. It's going to be great. And I think this is not an overstatement to call tomorrow's Cleveland game. If it goes a certain way, it might be the biggest single game in this NBA calendar year in terms of how it's going to impact the offseason and what's LeBron going to choose to do. If he can't even get out of the first round with the team that
he put together
at midseason with that
Clarkson,
big
Rodney
trade
Hood.
With Utah and the Lakers.
Yep.
Is this enough to push him out the door? And I certainly think if they win, continue winning, the more winning. But if they lose this, he could reasonably just say goodbye to it all.
It'd be interesting. It's going to be interesting. And I think, you know, the Portland Trail Blazers with the two guards, Lillard and McCollum, they're going to blow that up. The Wizards, you know, Beal, John Wall, those guys. I think there's going to be a lot of changes coming and a lot of second tier stars that are going to find new homes. You know, again, we have the 5 to 10 kind of constant, but those guys, the Lillards, the McCollums, who I think is good. Bradley Beal, I think is great. Where Paul George is in that upper echelons. You know, there's going to be a lot of movement, in this NBA free agency, especially if the King himself, decides to go to, the Lakers. I mean, they could make a trade to get Kawhi and still sign a player or two.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Kawhi, guys who's finished, what, top three in the MVP voting the last couple, few years. I think you're right about the Wizards. That's a blow-it-up situation. We have, and, you know, don't give me the Otto Porter injury. You know, we have seen what this current group has constituted is capable of, and they're capable of getting run quicker than their talent and their mouths would probably otherwise have us believe they can be.
Yeah.
So they need to do something different. Portland was incredibly surprising. So is that more Portland stubbing its toe or the Pelicans finding their groove without Boogie?
Well, I think figuring out
how to play.
You got the best player in the league, a guy you stole from the Chicago Bulls at the end of the season, Nikolai
Mirotic.
Yeah, Mirotic, yep. Thank you. And Rajon Rondo found the fountain of youth, and Drew Holiday's tremendous.
Well, playoff Rajon, even back in his days with the Celtics,
awesome.
If they had a Tuesday night TNT game, triple-double. Thursday night game at Sacramento on the local regional network, eh.
Yeah.
And that's always, and Rondo did this, if you remember with the Bulls last year against the Celtics, the Bulls won the first two games in Boston, then Rondo got hurt, and they were quick four games and out. So playoff Rondo's a real thing. Anthony Davis is back to the discussion of who's the third or fourth best player. Right now, it's just starting to say that's me.
Yeah.
You know, after the big two and, wherever you want to put Curry. So he's there. it looks like our man on the board is dismissing the notion.
The Steph Curry, sharpshooter, that's it to me.
He's the best player. He's number one.
No. LeBron's still number one.
Okay, so who's number two?
I mean, I might go Anthony Davis this year.
Over Kevin Durant.
Oh, no, you're right. Kevin Durant. You got me. You got okay. me good. I forgot about Kevin Durant.
And then you want Anthony Davis or do you want Steph Curry?
Anthony Davis.
That's fair. That's fair.
I mean, he can do everything. If Steph Curry gets down low and he doesn't get one of his 20-foot tall layups, he's not going to get it in the basket.
Well,
wow, that sounds like someone who's watched a lot of late night games angrily looking at those, watching those Warriors.
We got about a minute and change left in this segment. Not giving much love to Major League Baseball, but the Red Sox 19-6. Best record in baseball, getting it done. Need to be concerned about their fourth or fifth starting pitching and their bats going silent for a couple days.
So, great problem to have for the Red Sox. Oh, our fifth pitcher, Drew Pomeranz, isn't quite performing where we need him to be. certainly the bats are going to settle down, but you also have a guy like Benintendi who's hitting, I think, 219. So he's going to heat up. So it's all going to, in the end, it's going to be Boston and New York. They'll both be at about 93, 95 wins. Yankees are on their own run, I think, of 7 in a row now.
Didi
Gregorius, for my money, the best shortstop the Yankees have had in the last decade plus.
Wow. Okay, thank God we're getting ready to go to break on that one, because that is going to infuriate the Yankee Nation. And thank God Jeff Paul didn't hear that. You guys would be throwing headsets down and getting ready to throw blows without question. Great, great segue right there, Aaron. As we get ready to go to break, when we come back, we got out in left field. This guy, I'm just perplexed by this guy and this guy's luck. And we'll get to out in left field. That'll conclude hour number one. I'm Bernie Siplicki, in for Jeff Paul on Sports Saturday. Justin Rabideau, riding shotgun, Aaron on the board. When we come back, we got out in left field. Then we'll get ready to talk a little more NFL, Bruins hockey, hot or not. Getting ready to conclude hour number one. But when we come back, a wild story from out in left field.
Want to hear something weird? It's out in left field on Sports Saturday, only on 101.3 ESPN.
We are back on Sports Saturday, getting ready to round out hour number one. Bernie Siplicki filling in for Jeff Paul, who's out on assignment. Justin Rabideau riding shotgun. This is our out in left field segment, the weirdest news we could find. Aaron, take
man,
it away.
Oh, I'm sorry. I slipped on your toes.
Come on, man.
Man bit by shark, bear, and rattlesnake in 3 years. The odds of that are 893.35 quadrillion to one. That's, so he was bit by a shark off the coast of Hawaii. And then he was bit by a bear in Colorado. And then he was bit by a snake in Utah.
No, not just a snake.
Oh, yeah, rattlesnake.
Okay.
Venomous rattlesnake. Yep.
Okay. So this dude gets bit by a shark, a bear, and a rattlesnake.
Would you like to hear the odds of the three individual things?
Didn't you tell us that already?
Nope. The odd of
individually
all, odds
Bernie,
of
not
all of them.
Oh.
Odds of all of them is the first number. The odds of being bit by a shark in U.S. waters is 11.5 million to one. The odds of being bit by a bear are 1 in 2.1 million. And then the odds of being bit by a venomous snake in the U.S. is 1 in 37.5, or 37,500.
Okay, so I got a couple of questions here. We got like 2.5 minutes left in this bizarre segment. One, what is this dude going outside?
He's like an avid hiker. Avid traveler.
You develop a case of agoraphobia right now, don't you?
Agoraphobia,
the fear of being outside.
Well, yeah.
Which I think some people on the weekends have accused you of having.
Sure, absolutely. I love being in the studio. Nice and cool right now. It's very comfortable.
No yard work?
No, that's what my wife's for. Come on, Justin. I mean, let's go. So this dude is always getting, like, bit by something. He's always outside, so he's got to stop that. So here's the next question. Why not play the lottery?
So it's one of those, it's like the opposite of lucky in love, like unlucky in life, lucky in lottery, maybe?
Let's go. I mean, throw some money down on the Celtics tonight. Do something. I mean, this guy, a shark, a bear, and the fact that he survived all three of these,
and he didn't go to the hospital for the snake bite.
What?
It's a venomous rattlesnake bite, correct? Yeah.
He said that the bite had very little venom in it, and so he decided not to go to the hospital, and he was sick for a couple days.
I hope he didn't use any of those homeopathic methods of relieving yourself of a snake bite.
Ugh. Yeah, let's hope not.
And I don't know if we want to discuss
We are not going to discuss that on air.
but like, how did he know there was only a little bit of venom?
Well, he's an avid outdoorsman. Even though he's 20, you know, he knows everything. And, you know, it's no big deal.
That's true. Every 20-year-old knows everything, right? So, you know, it's no big deal. Aaron, how old are you?
I'm 18.
Okay, we're getting close. All right, we're getting close. Wow, that's definitely some news for the weird out in left field. Just a little crazy again. Stay inside, watch the draft, watch the Celtics, watch the Bruins. You know, maybe keep life easy on yourself. That will conclude our hour number one. We got SportsCenter coming at the top of the hour. Then in the second half of Sports Saturday, Matt Verderam, the lead writer for fansided.com. Talk a little more NFL draft. Tara Sullivan, Bruins hockey preview against the Lightning. Hot or not? And before you know it, we'll be getting ready to watch rounds 4 through 7 of the NFL draft. Hour number one of Sports Saturday. In the books. Sports Center coming at you now.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
You got to change up that remote though. You still got Ortiz and Jeter in there. They've been out for like 9 years now.
And Bernie Siplicki.
Derek who?
Oh, stop it.
Take it easy now.
Bite your tongue.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
We are back for hour number two. Thank you for joining us here on Sports Saturday, this last Saturday in April. Inching closer to patio summertime, pool weather up here in the great state of Vermont. I am Bernie Siplicki, taking the lead chair today for Jeff Paul, who is out on assignment, riding shotgun, Justin Rabideau, enlightening us with all kinds of knowledge in hour number one. Justin, you ready to do this for hour number two?
We only get 2 hours of this?
Well, I
thought we were here till like 4.
Well, got to talk to Ken.
All right.
Talk very to Ken. Good, maybe we can grow and expand. But exciting second hour coming up. Getting ready to talk to Matt Verderam, the lead writer for fansided.com. Talk some NFL. Then getting ready to preview the Bruins and the Lightning, the big series, the semifinals with Tara Sullivan. Little hot or not. And then get ready to enjoy a beautiful Saturday. Got anything special planned today?
I'm going to go after this and watch the daughter in a horse show.
Nice.
We're doing a little jumping today. And we're also, and you'll like this, we're picking up from one of the groups he's involved in, we're picking up dozens and dozens of Krispy Kremes. I'll make sure to drive by JMD and have a couple fall out of the truck.
Yo, come on, man. Are they for sale or are they pre-ordered?
We can figure something out.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we got Matt.
All right. On the TikTok Jewelers guest line, we got Matt Verderam, the lead writer for fansided.com. Matt, thanks for joining us today. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. You're on with Bernie and Justin. And, you know, Matt, NFL draft in full swing, kind of at the halfway point. What have you liked so far?
You know, I think some teams have gotten some nice value. I think the Packers have done a really nice job. They get Jaire Alexander in the first round. They were able to acquire next year's first round pick from the Saints. Then in the second round, they take Josh Jackson, who fell all the way to them. I don't think anybody thought that was going to happen. So overall, I think they've done well. The Chargers have done well, taking Derwin James. He fell pretty far. I thought the Cardinals were smart to trade up and get Josh Rosen. So some teams have gotten some really nice. I like the Giants getting Will Hernandez. I thought that was one of the better picks of the night last night. And so I think, you know, there have been some teams that have really helped themselves over the last couple of nights.
So, Matt, we saw your article on Lamar Jackson, and certainly you were very high on the pick. Do you think that he should not have been the last of those first-round quarterbacks, and would you have slotted him a little higher? Or is it a situation where Baltimore's a great chance for him to sit behind Flacco for a year or two and kind of figure the league out?
Yeah, I think it's a combo. I think he fell to a really good spot because, look, a lot of these quarterbacks, unless they are an Andrew Luck type coming out, they really do need a year. They at least need most of a year to sit down, to understand pro-style offenses. College has just changed so much. Almost every team runs a spread system, and it's, you know, a lot of times these kids don't have to go through reads. They don't have to understand sliding protections. It's just it's not something that's in their vocabulary in college. And so with Jackson, everything you understand about him, he's a smart kid. He's incredibly athletic. He had over 13,000 yards at Louisville, all told, and 9,000 in the air. But I think for him, it's a great opportunity to go get coached up by John Harbaugh and coordinator Marty Morningweg and sit for a year. You know, Joe Flacco is going to be there for at least one more season, so he's going to have time to learn. And as far as the other quarterbacks, I would have put him ahead of Josh Allen. I do not think Josh Allen should have been a first-round pick. I know obviously he was going to be, but he's only a first-round pick because of his size. If he was 3 inches shorter and 20 pounds lighter, he would not have gone in the first round. So I think Jackson's a better prospect than him.
We are talking to Matt Verderam, the lead writer for Fansided.com on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Matt, the Cleveland Browns at number four, it just kind of helped me understand what they were doing, or is that the Browns being the Browns, or am I being just too tough on them right now?
No, I think a lot of people feel that way. I actually really like Denzel Ward. I wrote about him pretty extensively before the draft. I thought he was the best corner available, and I think that he filled a huge area of need for them. You know, a lot of people are going to say, should have gotten Bradley Chubb. They could have paired him with Myles Garrett, and that's fair. I think Bradley Chubb is going to be a fantastic player in Denver. But I understand, I think to them, they said, look, we have one premier pass rusher, or a guy we think we can be one in Garrett. We need somebody who can cover, and Ward is a local kid for them, obviously Ohio State. I think that helps a little bit. They should be really familiar with him. They could have certainly gotten Chubb, and I don't think anybody would have minded that. But I don't kill them for drafting Ward. I think they took a player who's at a premium position that if he pans out the way that he's expected to, could be very good for them for the next 7-8 years.
So, Matt, how can you tell fans, what can you offer to fans for us to stay interested in the remaining rounds of the draft? Certainly there might be some names that we recognize, but it starts to get a little bit more where people like, frankly, guys like you as professionals can maintain the interest.
Yeah, I'll be honest, it's hard at times because even someone like me who's paid to do this for a living, there are guys that come off the board in the 5th, 6th, 7th round. You just really don't know, you don't know a lot about. That being said, if you're a fan of your team's got some picks today, which they all do, I think you'll look and say, look, we're looking to find a gem. We're looking to find somebody who maybe fills a couple roles for us. A lot of these guys are going to play special teams. But think about it this way. There have been quite a few stars in recent years who have come out of these rounds. Antonio Brown is a very late pick. I believe the 5th round. Tyreek Hill was a 5th round pick. And of course, you don't know at the moment their pick that they're going to turn into those guys. But these rounds, a lot of times, this is where you win championships. It's in the depth that you build. It's finding a guy late that can come in and start for you and make an impact. And so, a lot of times, if you have 4 picks on this day, 3 of these guys are going to wash out. But if you can find one guy who makes a big difference, that's a huge leg up on some of the other teams, perhaps in your division.
Matt, to follow up on that, with the the list of best available and those kind of things, who are potentially those guys that could be that 1 in 4 that make the roster and are a starter in a couple years?
Yeah, I think one name that's interesting, and I don't know, this guy's maybe more than a backup right now. He's probably going to have to mature out of it. But Luke Falk out of Washington State to me is somebody who I thought was going to go last night. I thought he'd go late. I thought he'd go mid to late 3rd round. But Falk showed a lot of potential. And I think some people even maybe had a late 2nd round grade on him. We saw Mason Rudolph go late to Pittsburgh. Falk should be the next guy off the board. I'd be surprised if he's not. And there's a lot of other guys, a lot of running backs. We finally saw Darius Geis go off the board. Royce Freeman went to Denver. But there's some depth at running back. You could still get a serviceable player there who can help you out. I think maybe the Jets look into that. The Jets don't have anybody there who you'd say is a star running back, maybe some guys who are solid. But there's some depth to be had at some of these positions. I think Falk, of any of them, is the most intriguing guy to me.
I'm glad you mentioned Darius Geis. And just for the listening audience that maybe didn't follow this as closely, he was seen as many as the maybe the second or third running back in the draft behind Saquon Barkley. But yet he slid into the late 50s to the Redskins. There appeared to be a lot of these unsubstantiated type rumors amongst the kind of the entrenched NFL journalist making their way around, which led me to believe it's almost kind of planted stuff. Do you have any insight to offer as to why he ended up where he did?
Yeah, the idea from a lot of teams is that he didn't show up on time to a lot of the meetings, the pre-draft meetings, some of these teams. There's a thought, and I want to give credit, with Mike Mayock reported that there could be an embarrassing situation that comes out about him in the coming days. I don't know what that is. I'm still trying to find that out. But right now, that's a rumor that's flying around. I think teams are off put. You know, he said that an unnamed team asked him if he liked men during the draft process, and then he walked that back and said it didn't happen. So I think teams there's a lot of concerns about who Darius Geis is as a person. I think as a player, it's hard to knock him. He had 2,000 yard years at LSU, one of which when he was splitting time with Leonard Fournette. So Geis can play, and LSU has produced a ton of stars in the last 10 years. But I think there's just a concern with him about, well, how dedicated is he? How mature is he? And then that seems to be a consensus thought around most NFL teams with Geis.
I like your thought about LSU, and as a college fan, I always find it confounding how in college, LSU's offense can never really amount to much. That's just not Leonard Fournette. But yet, their offensive skill guys always seem to blossom in the pros. Going back a bit to what you mentioned about Geis, if you go to Laramie Tunsil recently, as well as the Josh Allen tweets when he was 8 years old, these kind of rumors that come up at the last minute, they can cost these kids literally millions and millions of dollars, and some of it's real, some of it's just smoke with no fire attached to it. So where does the responsibility lie to journalists to try to make sure they get this type of stuff right before that almost becomes the narrative on a player?
I think there's a lot of responsibility. Look, any of us, you know, you have to be right. You're reckless if you're not, because you're right. It's costing these kids life-changing amounts of money. In the case of Allen, obviously, with the tweets, I mean, that's just plain in sight. And I think if you're an agent of these kids, you have to understand the landscape now. This is, you know, social media is such a big component of it. If I was an agent of a player, I would tell them immediately, we are wiping your social media clean, period. I don't care how much you use it. Everything's gone, and we'll start over. Because it's just not worth it. It's not worth going back and seeing all this stuff. And what happened to Geis, look, Josh Allen, as much as those tweets were, you know, frankly, you know, offensive to a lot of people and insensitive, he's a quarterback. So teams are going to overlook that. You know, the Bills were going to take him no matter what he said on Twitter because he's a quarterback. And if they're right with him, he's going to be there for 15 years and running the show. Geis is a running back. And so teams are going to say, well, we just don't need to deal with this. We'll take Sonny Michel. We'll take Nick Chubb. You know, we'll take whoever, a Penny out of San Diego State. We'll take any of those guys over you, because running backs are much more a dime a dozen than a quarterback or Tunsil being a left tackle was.
Matt, we got a couple minutes left here, and I wouldn't be doing my due diligence as a Giants fan. Talk to me about the two picks that they got in the third round for those that are untrained and what they're going to bring to the table for Big Blue.
Yeah, well, you know, the Giants, first off, you know, the number two pick when they took Barkley, that's a situation where I think a lot of people said they could have gone quarterback there. They decided not to. And I don't blame them from the standpoint of Barkley is such an incredible talent. Hard to knock that, although Darnold being there, he goes to the Jets. If he's really good for the Jets, that's tough to stomach, I'm sure. But in terms of their picks last night, look, Will Hernandez is a very good player. I think most people thought he was going to go in the first round. A lot of people pegged him to Cincinnati. He falls. That's a big get for the Giants. He should replace Justin Pugh. And I love Lorenzo Carter out of Georgia. He's a kid who can come off the edge. He's a little bit of a project. He's a little raw. That's why he fell that far. But he's somebody who can really rush the passer. I look for him to be a contributor right away. And B.J. Hill out of North Carolina State, look, that's just a big-bodied kid. That's somebody who's going to come in and play next to Damon Harrison and be someone who I think comes off the field in passing situations. But he can help to stop the run. He gives him some more depth up front. So I think the Giants did really well. Again, I think Barkley's going to be a great player. You could argue they could have gone with a quarterback. I would have, frankly. But they get a very, very talented kid in Barkley. And in the later round, get three guys who can help him around the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, Matt Verderam, the lead writer for Fansided.com. We appreciate you joining us today amongst the chaos of the NFL draft. And we love the insight that you brought to us. We thank you and enjoy rounds 4 through 7 today.
Hey, no problem, guys. Anytime. Take care.
That was Matt Verderam, the lead writer for Fansided.com. Just great insight. You can tell the adrenaline's already going for rounds 4 through 7 for him today.
Talk about solid. And I think you could have picked any team, asked him about any of their picks, and he's right off the cuff with not just who they are, but you know, he talked about the big guy for the Giants maybe spelling snacks here in the near future. And not only
who, Hill from North Carolina State.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be the first to admit I didn't memorize the Giants draft.
Why not? Well, you know that was a prerequisite coming
into
today.
They're 3-13. You can only spend so much capital on a 3-13 team. There's only so much room up there.
That's fair.
No, but that's why you got to talk about them in the draft. They need this. They need this to work out.
Well,
it's like the Browns.
Or conversely, I'm okay with it not working out.
Why is that? Do you enjoy when the Giants struggle?
Well, just the, you know, I don't want to limit it to the Giants. Talk about the Jets, the Rangers, the Yankees, the Knicks, you know.
Wow.
In general, bring me all of their sorrow, all of their misery.
Do the Knicks even still have a team?
That's the beauty of it.
Oh, man, I tell you. No, that was a great segment with Matt from Fansided.com. Just a lot of good insight, and it sounds like still a lot of good players available in rounds 4 through 7, which will start right at noon. So right after us, listening to us, you can flip on that TV and get ready to watch the rest of the draft and see what your team does.
But be back at 3:20 for Red Sox Rays.
Or more importantly, on the Zone, 2:30 today. Game number 1, Bruins in Tampa Bay. And when we come back, our good friend Tara Sullivan down in Florida give us a preview of the Bruins and the Lightning, who dropped the puck 3:00 today in game number 1 of their playoff season series. We'll get to her when we come back.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
What is going on with that fan base down there?
And Bernie Saplicki.
Can you not hear me?
I can't hear you too well. I can kind of hear something.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Saplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, everybody. I'm Bernie Saplicki in the lead chair, filling in for Jeff Paul, who's out on assignment not only this week, but next week as well. I tell you, this guy.
Got the life. Got that pizza. That pizza dough.
Exactly. Ray and me, too. Dough Ray me. Exactly. Justin Rabideau riding shotgun. Hanging in there.
Like I said, I got hours left in me.
You got hours left in you? I'm getting tired.
I can bore people all day long.
That's true. I mean, yeah, no. Come on now, Justin. Come on now. Aaron on the board trying to get us Tara Sullivan so we can talk a little Bruin stuff. Let's go, man.
She keeps sending me straight to voicemail. Tara, come on. I don't know what's going on. But I'll try and get her again. You guys just, you know, get the ball rolling.
Get the ball rolling. Yeah. Or get the puck dropping. You know, it's NHL playoffs into round number 2. Couple of blowouts early. Pittsburgh coming back and beating Washington once again.
Oh, that was... What lead would the Caps need to have for their minds to be like 7-0 in the third? At what point do they think that they're going to get over on the Penguins? I love the little brother.
Yeah, the hardest part is breaking through that first time, and you thought they were going to do it and things were going to change, and they just pulled the rug right out from under them and pulled the football away like they was Lucy. Just taking care of business.
And for better or worse, it's really come to define. Again, I'm not
the hockey connoisseur,
NHL insider, yeah. But it's really come to define Ovechkin's career in terms of all the great numbers in the regular season, president's cups, scoring titles. However, whenever the Penguins come a knocking, and also they flamed out against, they have a nice resume of flameouts. But it does seem like it happens quite frequently against the Pens.
Well, you know, they thought they were, you know, done against Columbus when they lost the first two, and then they came back and won four. Everyone was starting that same kind of thing about Ovi, and they turned it around the other way. And, you know, but now another chapter is potentially being written, and we'll see if they can bounce back.
Maybe the best thing for the Penguins is if they get rid of the silly playoff seeding format. So I'm sorry, for the Capitals, so they stop running into the Penguins as early as they do. And hopefully, if we get Tara here, we can talk about her thoughts. And I don't want to tease it too much here, but we've been talking on and off air just about this format,
yeah,
and how it's not really matching up the best teams at the right times.
And we do, thank you, Aaron, have Tara Sullivan joining us, a sports columnist for the Boston Globe. Tara, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Doing well on this Saturday. So getting ready to talk a little Bruins hockey. What?
I'm in sunny Tampa. Finally, a break from the winter.
Yeah, even better. You know, get some sun and get some hockey. What Bruins kind of survive the first round against Toronto, you know, not putting their best foot forward, especially on the back end against Toronto in that seventh game. What do they have to do to be successful against the very, very good Tampa team?
Well, I think they just need to channel what we saw. You're right about the back end of the series, except for the third period of Game 7 when suddenly, you know, they were back to that dominant team that we had seen in Games 1 and 2. So if you see, you know, if you see that brand where it's very aggressive, puck hungry, you know, really pushing on offense, and, you know, because let's be honest, their top line is as good as anybody's in hockey, right? So if that one gets going again, certainly they're in good shape. So I think it's just, you're right, there's a sense of relief and survival from round one. It certainly doesn't get any easier, but they did have some decent regular season success against this team, and I think just channeling kind of that team that played in Games 1 and 2 and the third period of Game 7.
Hi, Tara. I got to ask you, the Lightning have been off, I think it will be a week, and certainly getting healthy in playoff hockey, getting rid of the upper body injuries and the lower body injuries is a positive. But at what point is a week too much for to lose the kind of competitive edge? Rest versus rust.
Yeah, I mean, I would answer it by let's watch the first period and see what happens, right? I mean, I don't know that you can 100% predict that, because like you said, there are people who would opt and prefer it that way because of the rest, because of giving injuries some time and, you know, really recharging a battery. And there are those, you know, who say, we don't like it this way. It's not the natural. We never have this much time off in the regular season. It doesn't feel right, and you lose some of the momentum. So I think, you know, the early going of this game in particular, you know, if there's some rust, I can't imagine it would take more than a period or so to get rid of it, but maybe there's a sliver of an opening, you know, for the Bruins to take advantage of that. I think we'll see when the game starts.
You know, we talk about the health. The Bruins just had a brutal seven-game series against Toronto. Patrice Bergeron misses a game. How is the Bruins' health coming into this series right now?
Yeah, he came back okay. I think the whispers were that it was more flu-like than anything like actual, you know, injury. So he seemed fine by Game 7. I don't think that's a huge concern other than just the fatigue factor, you know, to go seven and to have played. I mean, Toronto was really good. I mean, that series was really, really close. And, you know, even in those first two games, like Toronto had a couple periods even in the first two where they were, you know, right in the thick of things. So I think it's not so much about injury issues. It's just, like we're saying, you know, that maybe some tired or fatigue, just not having a lot of time off.
We are talking to Tara Sullivan, the sports columnist for the Boston Globe, talking a little Bruins hockey as they get ready to take on Tampa Bay in the second round of the NHL playoffs.
And Tara, those of us hockey fans here locally, we were very excited to see the Bruins draft New England guy in Ryan Donato. He didn't get a lot of run in the first series. Any reason to think that's going to change going forward?
That's a big question, and it's a great question, and I think we'll actually talk to Cassidy shortly here, you know, before today's game, and I'm sure it'll come up again. I was out there at the Olympics, you know, and certainly saw the impact that he had on that team and what he brings to the power play and just really that shoot-first mentality, and there certainly were times in those last couple of games where you felt like it would have been great to have him out there, right? You know, I mean, you felt like you missed him a little bit. So I don't know. I mean, Heinen came back. He might have been somebody they would have thought about swapping out, but he came back and had a big goal in Game 7. So it's really just a matter of, you know, too many good players. I really think, and that's probably a problem any team would sign up for. But I wouldn't be shocked if – I think Cassidy this year has really shown himself to be very deft at maneuvering this loaded roster, right? I mean, it's been an issue at times, guys sitting who are healthy and healthy scratches. So I don't know. I mean, I think it would be great. It would be a great storyline. I'd love to see what he could bring, but I don't know, just given the experience factor, you know, there's no way to know what he would do because of the intensity of the Stanley Cup playoffs, where some other guys, you know, look at a DeBrusque. I mean, that guy's turning into a veteran in front of our eyes, right? So we'll see. I'd love to see him, though.
Tara, who for the Bruins really has to find another level of greatness for the Bruins in this playoff run to continue to keep going?
Do you really have to add, isn't it all about the goalie?
Other than Tuukka, yeah, that was my answer.
I mean, I've only just gotten here since December, right? And I've heard more, well, you know, pro and con arguments about that guy than I ever expected. You know, I mean, I think the pressure's on him maybe to steal them a game. I think people feel like they'd love to see that.
I know my uncle who lives in Bergen, New Jersey, misses you down there, and the Bergen Record has that paper.
Well, tell him thank you. My dad does too. Trust me, he's down there as well. But I miss the people of New Jersey, but doing my best to learn the people in New England.
Tara, yet again, we have in the conference semis the two top teams from each conference facing. And I think this was a 2013 rule change. Where do you think the league, the players, the coaches, like, where are they on this? Because to me, as someone who's always kind of followed just the bracket format as a viewer and a fan, it just doesn't – I have a hard time buying what it is Bettman's trying to sell here.
I do too. I'll be honest with you. I'm dropping in. I'm parachuting in, which is what I normally do as a columnist, you know, come Stanley Cup playoff time anyway. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't even understand the motivation. It just doesn't make logical sense to me. I don't understand how – This ends up being the road of the top two seeds. I don't have an answer for you. And I don't know, you know, I'm sure it's something the players choose not to even dwell on because they have zero control over it and just got to go play what they got to play. But, you know, in logical theory, it makes no sense to me. So I'm with you.
Yeah, I would think playoff hockey is compelling enough. It doesn't need forced regional drama. Yep. And then the notion that the flights are a little shorter. I mean, this isn't the 60s and we're not riding trains to go play the Syracuse Nationals.
It doesn't make sense. And, like, as much as this is a great series, you know, look at, you know, you have the, you know, Ovechkin and Crosby, like, the, you know, now you took away the potential of that even being your Eastern Conference final, right? So I don't know. So then you're diluting star power or using it up early. So I think there are arguments to be made on both sides, but I'm always just a believer in, you know, the rewarding the regular season results and basing your seedings on that. That's what makes sense in my head. Like you said, that's what I've been used to my whole life. So that's what makes sense to me.
All right, Tara, we're going to put you on the hot seat. What was going to happen in this series?
Oh, man. Gosh, I wish I had more, you know, leg to stand on. My gut, you know, I've sort of hopped on the Bruins bandwagon. That's what I've seen. They've looked so good at times that I, you know, I sort of said they're Stanley Cup potential, so I'd probably stick with that. But thinking it'll take maybe the six games, they steal one here and do it in six.
All right. Well, Tara, we appreciate you joining us once again. And we enjoy some sun and enjoy some hockey.
Thank you. Enjoy the final rounds of the draft. I'm sure that's as big a topic of conversation as hockey. It's amazing with the NFL draft.
Oh, absolutely.
Enjoy the final few. And, yeah, this should be fun today.
Thanks a lot, Tara. Appreciate you joining us.
All right. Anytime. Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
How good is she, by the way?
Oh. Fantastic.
I mean, she's acting as if she, quote, kind of gets dropped in the, you know, but.
Well, I mean, you know, she kind of.
Ask her anything.
Yeah.
She's just so good.
You know, she's been on with us a ton of times, especially talking Giants stuff. And, you know, now has moved to the Globe and covering the Bruins and that kind of.
The good side.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. But, you know, she's just so smart, so insightful, and so lucky to be in Tampa Bay right now. You know, get, like she says, get to be poolside and then go watch a little hockey and then head back out. We appreciate her joining us. I just don't know, though, if the Bruins have enough to climb the mountain or, to quote one of our favorite albums, Ride the Lightning.
I definitely agree with you. If you break it down by kind of individual components, the only place where you could conceivably say the Bruins are better is maybe when they're on the power play. They certainly haven't been great killing the power play. And you and I were just talking a bit ago. In my view, Tampa's Tampa's a better version of Toronto. And we just saw what Toronto did. And I don't think anyone thought going into that series that the Bees would get extended the way they did. So Tampa does everything Toronto does. They do it better. And they have a goalie who's not subject to what Tuukka has been given the Bruins.
Well, I was going to say, is it because Tuukka was really hot and cold in the last series and that's why it got extended?
Well, the first two games, the Bruins top line
awesome.
Had 20 points.
Right, they were
and
awesome.
Then they didn't. Not that you can expect 10 points a game out of them, but can they get in the corners? Can they cycle it? Can they get it on net? Can they get rebounds? Because that's the type of game. And if you break the series down to kind of one headline, it's kind of the glamour and the flash of Tampa versus the kind of the grit and the toughness of Boston, as each team, perhaps inadvertently, is kind of mirroring the image of their host city.
Going to be fun. A great day for Boston sports fans. We've got the 3 o'clock Bruins Lightning game. Got the 8 o'clock Celtics Bucks game 7. Both games can be heard on the zone. Bruins coverage at 2:30. Celtics coverage at 7:30. And, you know, in between periods, if you get bored, tune it on at 3:20. The best team in baseball with the best record, the Boston Red Sox, trying to avenge last night's loss to the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. They're playing at 3 or start at 4 o'clock. When we come back, though, hot or not, Aaron getting ready to throw some stuff at you and I, Justin,
woo,
to see if we like it or if we don't. Hard to believe. One more segment to go, and then we get ready for a beautiful Saturday afternoon in Chittenden County. When we come back, hot or not.
Better turn up the AC, because it's time for Hot or Not. Powered by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday. You know what that music means in the background. It's time for one of our favorite segments here. Time for Hot or Not. I'm Bernie Siplicki, filling in for Jeff Paul on assignment. Justin Rabideau riding shotgun. As we come down the home stretch of this last Saturday in April on Sports Saturday. Aaron, you're on the call here, hot or not. Now, big question before we get rolling. Who made the questions this week? You or your girl?
Don't get too excited because it was me this week.
This is going to be easy then this week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My favorite 15 minutes of the week, though.
That's
Hot
good.
Or Not is sponsored by Superb Cupcakes. Stop by Superb Cupcakes in the Taft Corners Shopping Center in Williston for the best cupcakes around. They won't disappoint, offering a large variety of regular and mini cupcakes and edible cookie dough daily. They're open every day but Monday. Get them early, as hours are subject to change if they sell out.
All right. What do we got, kid?
The Red Hot Pelicans will oust the Warriors in round 2, assuming Steph Curry is not 100%.
Justin, as the fill in at shotgun for me, here. Would you like to do the honors to start hot or not, or would you like me to take this one?
Visitors always bat first, right?
That's correct. So take it away.
Well, I think Steph Curry isn't going to be 100%, so that's a given. But no, they might be able to extend them to 6. But the Warriors still have the gear when they need it. They have a ridiculous depth of riches. You adding Durant to an already historic team, so no, I think we got Warriors in 5. The Pels were a great story in round 1, but Golden State, they know how to get this done.
Well, you know, you talk about the depth of riches the Warriors have. They bring up Quinn Cook, and he just looks phenomenal for Golden State. You know, it's just
Duke.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Another Duke guy who got called up. You know, the Pelicans, I love them. I love watching them. I love this team. I want them to win this series so desperately because I'm kind of over Golden State. Like, they're great, but it's stale. So unfortunately, I gotta go not and say that the Warriors will take care of business, but hopefully they're pushed a little more than 5.
I'm betting on playoff Rondo.
I hope you're right, but I just can't do it.
Thus far, Mookie Betts is a top 5 power bat in the MLB.
Well, are we going by numbers or what we believe?
Go with your gut, Gettleman style.
Gettleman style, trade the pick. Anyway. I'm going to say not because the numbers, you know, the numbers are the numbers. I just think there's, with between the weather and the different, you know, athletes that haven't found their stride yet, I think he's top 10, but I just don't think he's a top 5 bat.
I think his time has arrived. You know, last year the Red Sox were, how are we going to replace Ortiz? What's the identity? Mookie appears ready to kind of make this his team, both on and off the field, and some of the things he's been saying. And while he's certainly playing a little bit above his level right now, I think he's there, and he's in that Mike Trout level, I think, on a consistent basis now.
You know what I think is really often overlooked in sports? You know, you talk about how you got to replace Ortiz, and oh, Mookie's the guy, and the killer bees, and all that kind of stuff. And even what Stanton's going through now, that first year, that transition year, is so much harder than I think people realize. You know, that first year, just to be able to come in and, oh, boom, do it. Just you know, oh, I mean, but Betts is replacing Ortiz. It's so much harder than people realize. And I think, you know, it's just not reflective of, yep, the pieces are there, but now you look at year two and look at the start the Red Sox have gotten off to.
We do tend to view these guys as indestructible widgets, and you can just pick one up and move it around on the chessboard and they'll have the same level of production. There's often not a lot of consideration given to the human element, and I think you're totally right.
All right. This is Gronkowski's last year in New England.
Meaning the coming up, this upcoming year will be his final season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. If you look at what's happening to his body, what his upcoming salary cap hits are going to be, his contract is heavily incentive loaded. I think this is his last year in New England, and I think there's, after that, I think there's, it's a coin flip. It's his last year, period, anywhere.
I'm going to say not, because I haven't seen anything that the Patriots have done to make it, you know, his last year. Yeah, we can talk, you know, the contract, I agree with, but who else do they have at tight end? You know, they had a chance to draft some, and this tight end crop is pretty good. They've had a chance to draft some people, and I know it's not the Patriot way, but just the marketability of Gronkowski and the Patriots. Like, you talk about the face of the franchise, you got Brady, you got Belichick, you got Kraft. Who's next? Gronk. I think because of that, he might stay a little longer than he should, but I think he'll be back.
All right. LeBron, despite being pushed to Game 7, will somehow make it to the finals this year.
I don't think so. I think, not that I have a lot of faith in playoff Raptors, but, you know, they've earned that. But I think whether it's Toronto or, frankly, I think the Sixers are beating whoever wins in Boston today, I think either of those teams can dispatch the Cavs. I think this is, what is it, 8 years in a row? No, 9 years in a row. I think this is the end of the LeBron finals run.
I'm going to say hot. I think there's just some way that he does it. He's the best player on the planet. He's going to will his team to Game 7. I think you hit the nail on the head. Toronto is Toronto. And they tried to give away the series to Washington, but Washington just had never done it either. I do think the biggest obstacle is the Sixers, but I don't think that that's an awful matchup for the Cavaliers. I think if they lose, if they win tomorrow, they're going to the finals.
So a lot of people have gotten rich betting on LeBron, so you're probably right. Just remember this. They start J.R. Smith and the ghost of Jose Calderon.
But again, J.R. Smith, he's either going to get 50 or 5. And Jose, he doesn't want to shoot. He's just going to set the table and drive people crazy. So, yeah, you're right. I is Clarkson, is Hood, is Hill, is Nance. Love, is Nance, are those guys going to elevate? And I think they find
you
a
know,
way.
It's odd to see who's buried on their bench now is Max Guy Tristan Thompson.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, he did wrong the Kardashians, so that's maybe what he gets. All right. The Patriots, they traded with the Rams for the 23 overall pick, which they used to draft Isaiah Wynn. The Patriots won the trade with the Rams. Hot or not?
Who cares? I mean, how you can't even say because, you know, both teams got good players and nobody's played yet. No one's done a down. You know, Cooks is going to fill in a starting void, and you got to figure Wynn is going to fill a starting void. So can we kind of table this one till week 7 of the NFL season and, you know, around Halloween and then revisit it?
I think it'll be back.
Can you have Sophie put that in the notes? Because I know she keeps a better log on this than you do.
Yeah, do you want to speculate at all now, or just you want to skip
well,
it?
Let's see what Justin has to speculate on.
I thought I'd have to come back in week 8 to figure this out. So, I think by a little bit they did, just from a positional scarcity standpoint. Brady can make a valuable receiver out of a lot of guys. They have Edelman coming back off injury. Same with Hogan. I know they lost Amendola.
Dave Hogan?
Cooks did a really good job of filling a void this year. I don't think they're going to need that as much as they might need some line help next year. So just by a little bit.
And you don't want any part of this, Bernie?
If I have to answer it right now, I say not. I think the Rams won because they have the established player.
All right. So we all saw what Joe Flacco has done the last couple of years. With that in mind, despite what they say now, the Ravens will start Lamar Jackson week 1.
Not. I mean, come on. I mean, we had our good friend, Matt Verderam from fansided.com on, and he even came out and said, what a great scenario for Lamar to sit and learn for a year or two. So not that I'm smart, but I know Matt's smart, and I'm going to listen to him.
Yeah, I agree with Bernie, and I think for another
reason. Whoa. You okay?
The stability that they have in the coaching ranks with Harbaugh and Marty Morningwig. Those guys aren't afraid of their jobs. They're not going to be forced into rushing a guy out there early. So I think they have the in-house infrastructure to allow him to, here you go, ready, Bernie, to matriculate properly. So I think we're not going to see him on opening day.
Thank God this show's almost over.
All right. Josh Rosen was the best quarterback drafted on Thursday.
To me, it's Sam Darnold. I think both play in the long run, it's Sam Darnold. A lot of guys have oddly enough shown once they get to the NFL the ability to stop being forced into making these. Darnold throws the ball away a little bit too much, but I think that can be corrected. I think he has better skills to be as better in the long run than Rosen.
Go ahead.
Can I edit it actually? Because I've got a better one. Josh Rosen's attitude is going to be a positive part of his career. Winning attitude.
I would say yes to that because he has a mindset of I'm going to take care of business. But in terms of him being the best drafted quarterback on Thursday, I'm going to say not, because I'm going to say Lamar Jackson has that type of career.
Do you want to weigh in on the second?
I think once he gets to the big leagues, they're going to kind of tell him he's going to Arizona. They have a lot of people are high on their incoming coach from the Bears staff. So I think they're going to settle him down a bit and focus him more about football. And in the NFL is a production league. So all these cute little sayings aren't going to matter much come October.
I really like his fire. All right.
Got about 30 seconds left here.
Wrap it up here with the Celts move on to round 2 of the playoffs.
I'm going to say hot. I'm going to say very close. But how close, I haven't decided yet.
Yeah, I think the Seas win by just a couple, and it's going to be close in the end, but the Seas win by a couple.
All right, that was Hot or Not.
That was Hot or Not by Superb Cupcakes. We appreciate them doing that. And Aaron, please get Sophie back, all right, for next week. But that was awesome. We love Hot or Not. We appreciate Superb Cupcakes. When we come back, we tie a bow on the show. Hard to believe that the 2 hours on this Saturday morning in April, the last April, are almost done.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
You don't want to mess with people. You don't want to mess with aliens, especially if you don't know if they're nice.
And Bernie Siplicki.
We don't need
Maybe
them.
We're aliens and we don't even know it.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday. Hard to believe Our 2 hours is come and gone. I'm Bernie Siplicki filling in for Jeff Paul, who's out on assignment, not only this week, but next week as well. Justin Rabideau filling in. Thank you very much for the time today, my friends.
You're welcome. I just love that Aaron likes the song, because if this song was a person, it would be old enough to be his father.
Yes, and Aaron on the board, great job as usual. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Looking forward to next week. We'd also like to thank from this week Matt Verderam, the lead writer for fansided.com. Great insight about the NFL draft and still to come, rounds 4 through 7. Anybody out there in the draft that you want, let's see, you like the Cowboys, the Patriots, and anybody who plays the Giants. Yeah. So who do you want anyone but the Giants to see pick?
Actually, I did like, because Luke Falk was associated early on with teams like the Pats. So, and he's a big guy, got a big arm. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get moved earlier.
Be interesting there. And also like to thank Tara Sullivan, our longtime friend who's down in Tampa covering the Bruins against the Lightning in their NHL playoff season that tips off at the puck is dropped at 3 o'clock today. Excuse me. Any hope for our Bruins, Justin?
It's hockey, right? So there's always hope. Anyway, Tuukka gets hot. They hit a crossbar. The Bruins don't. Yeah, definitely there's hope. But I think it's a little bit uphill.
Yeah, it's going to be a battle, that's for sure. But a great day to be a sports fan. You got the draft starting at 12 on ESPN coming up at 3:20. You got the station right here. You got the Rays and the Sox. Then on the Zone, 2:30, Game 1, Bruins and Tampa Bay. 7:30 tonight, Milwaukee and the Celtics. We talked about it. We hope that the Celtics can pull it out. But either way, Jason Tatum, Jabari Parker, someone's moving on from the franchise.
You never lose, dude. You never lose.
Oh, I lose a lot. But, you know, it's just one of those things. But, again, we are a local show. Justin, thanks again for being here. Aaron, great job on the board. Sports Saturday. Again, you can listen to us on podcast. A lot of ways to enjoy the rerun of this show if you so desire. We appreciate everybody out there listening. We hope that you have a great Saturday. Get out there. Do something nice for somebody else. Be kind to people out there. And most importantly, watch those Giants picks here in the 4th and 5th round. A lot of work to do there.
Most importantly, I thought it was always share your pizza.
Well, you know, we got to do that, but I'm kind of hungry. It's going to be a good lunch. Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox this afternoon, NFL draft. So much good stuff coming up. Thank you so much for listening to Sports Saturday again. Do something good for somebody out there and have a great weekend.